The First Testament lesson is from Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. It can be found in your pew Bible on page 58 of the New Testament. Listen for the word of the Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child. She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those who he favors." Then the angels had left them and gone into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child laying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known that what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The word of the Lord.
A couple of weeks ago, I was chatting with a friend of mine from Poland, and I asked her the probably most asked question at this time of year: "Are you ready for Christmas?" She happened to grow up under communist rule, and we often have really, really fascinating conversations. Anyway, her reply to me, it really got me thinking, and it's kind of stayed with my mind. She answered that she had done most of her shopping but still had some to do, but that her house had been scrubbed top to bottom. The windows, the blinds, and the walls were washed. The carpets were shampooed. The furniture was vacuumed and polished, and so on. So naturally, I assumed she was having a lot of company. And I shared with her that a lot of people these days just do kind of a surface cleaning before the event, and then they do the deep cleaning after everyone's left. And she replied that she wasn't having any company this year, that they were going to her sister's. The reason for the deep cleaning was a long embedded tradition of making sure that your home was clean enough to welcome the baby Jesus. And it just really struck a chord with me, and I've been kind of pondering it ever since. And it got me to thinking, is my home clean to welcome the baby Jesus? Now, I know for sure that my house is not. But what about my home, my inner dwelling? If we were only talking about physical surroundings, then really none of us would have a thing to worry about. After all, let's really think about the birth narrative for a minute. It was not a pretty picture. And while we are not here this morning to celebrate Jesus' birth, come back at 5, 8, or 11, we do all know the story. But so often, as our emotions get a hold of us, we kind of pretty up the story. And too seldom do we really consider the harsh realities of the situation. The stable had to have had quite an odor. To be honest, it would have stunk. And I can't imagine that the bands of cloth to wrap the baby Jesus were very clean. And Jesus was placed in a feed trough, which would have been covered with animal spittle and leftover feed. It's important to pay attention to this story because what is so spectacular about it is that it is so very ordinary. We often have a tendency to think that living modest, unassuming lives in small, unknown places insulates a person from the extraordinary. And Luke's story certainly discredits that. Mary, an unknown, ordinary woman from an unknown place, was chosen by God for a singularly distinctive role that would reorder her entire life and that of the world. Mary accepted God's call on her life, but surely she must have felt overwhelmed, unprepared, and perhaps unworthy. Surely she must have questioned, or at least not fully understood, the struggle that she was to endure. But God chose her, and she opened the doors to her home, and she welcomed God into it. In the book of Luke, the first ones to see the newborn baby were the shepherds living in the fields. The creches we lovingly set out each year display a really tender scene with those gathered around the baby Jesus. And there was always a shepherd or two with some sheep huddled near to the manger. They're beautiful, and creches are something that many of us cherish. But the reality of the scene was anything but beautiful. Most shepherds were boys between the ages 8 and 14 who had two or three grown men, 20 to 25, to supervise them. These ordinary boys and men were held in very low esteem, and they were not considered to be a part of polite society. In fact, they were considered tainted. Walking around in sheep dung, smelling of wet and dirty animals, it was impossible for them to ever be considered clean. Hence, they were never allowed to enter the synagogues or the temple. And to a Jew at that time, religious life revolved around the temple. Shepherds were deemed unclean, both physically and ritually. For certain, shepherds would not be considered worthy messengers of news as great as the birth of the Savior of the world. Yet it was to them that the angels appeared. These dirty, smelly nobodies, mostly not much younger than Mary, were who the angels summoned to go see the Christ child and tell of his birth. And they said yes. They were called, and they responded to that call just as Mary did. They opened their doors, and they trusted God. And what about us? Do we trust God? Do we respond to God's call? For while we may not have an angel appear to give us a message, God does call each and every one of us. It's only through Scripture that we know of Mary and Joseph and the shepherds all these centuries later. Few, if any of us, will be remembered in the centuries to come. Because to be honest, we are all ordinary. Few of us will ever be known outside our work or personal life circles. But that doesn't mean that we ordinary people are not called to extraordinary things. We ordinary people are called to receive and live out the love of God. There is no greater thing that we can be called to. Today's scripture tells us that we do not know ahead when or how God will call us, but God will call us, each of us. Some of us are called to be loud and public. Many of us are called to lead quiet lives of faithfulness, but we are all called, and it is up to us to say yes. Think you're ordinary? Well, God has big plans for you. Living as a disciple of Jesus Christ and making God's love manifest in the world. And no matter how clean our personal homes may be, we can all open our doors and invite God in. And if we keep our doors open, really keep them open, God will help with the cleaning and show us where we are called. But like Mary and the shepherds, it is up to us to welcome God in and say yes. So when tonight comes and we celebrate the birth of Jesus, look closely at your creche. If God used these unlikely, ordinary people, then won't God use us too? And let us ask ourselves, though my home may not be clean, are my doors open to welcome God in and hear God's call? And do I have the courage to say yes to that call? Let us pray. Giving God, we give you thanks that your love does in fact call each and every one of us. Guide us to keep our doors open and welcome you in, and give us the courage to follow your call. In Jesus' name, amen.